Congregation, we heard from the word of God from the psalmist. Happy is he. Happy is she who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in his God. Happy. A blessedness. There is a joy for those who have the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Joy, happiness. Now, it is not always immediately associated with the Reformed teachings, and yet for the psalmist it is, when he professes that it is the Lord his God who made the heaven and the earth, the universe, the Creator, but also the covenant-keeping God, is his help, is his only hope. And hope and help experienced by the psalmist that makes him to say that it is the Lord his God who lifts up those that are bowed down. That it is the Lord his God who sets free those in bondage. That it is his God that opens the eyes of the blind, watches over the strangers. That it is the Lord who upholds the widow, the widowers, those that go through life alone. To have God as your hope, as your help, experiencing his care, his fatherly care. For the psalmist, they are reasons, abundant reasons, to be happy, to be joyful, to be blessed. And so should we. And therefore, I want to reflect with you tonight, with the help of the Lord, on the biblical and the Reformed teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism, as you will find it in Lord's Day 9, as we have read it together, which speaks of God's fatherly care. Two brief main points: the profession and the provision. The profession and the provision in this catechism. The profession, that is seen in the catechism when we read that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the sake of Christ his Son, is my God and my Father. And the provision, of which we read in the catechism, he will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body, for he is able to do it, being an almighty Father, a God, and willing, being a faithful Father. Friends, when we come to Lord's Day 9, question and answer 26 here in the Heidelberg Catechism, that we are in the second part of the catechism. The second part that deals with of man's delivery. That is the context of this Lord's Day. Deliverance, as the catechism teaches, of our misery. And which the catechism has told us in Lord's Day 1 to 4. A teaching that it can be experienced by grace. Not only that we are a sinner, disobedient to God, but also that God has to punish this disobedience. As Scripture reminds us, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law. When that law, and go back this night, don't step over it, even when we deal with Lord's Day 9. Go back in your life, and when God's law declared you're guilty, And that you begin to see that you cannot keep one of God's good commandments. Go back in your life. That you experience a real experience by word and spirit daily, that your guilt increased and that over a good doing God, that you begin to see that you have seen that disobedience must be punished. And that the question in Lord's Day 5 is not strange to you. How can I escape this punishment and be again received into favor? And then to experience that answer that was given through the gospel, only our Lord Jesus Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, He is our righteousness and holiness and our redemption. And that you may know by grace His blood cleanses of all your sin. Everything. Not only for others, but for me. He for me. To begin to learn to rest in Christ, in His complete and finished work. Nothing has to and nothing can be added from my side. That is the gospel. But to rest in Christ, this complete Savior. This faith in Him who lived a life His people should have lived, who took the penalty His people deserved, died a death you and I deserved. Faith that is a surrender, a resting on, a leaning upon, a feeding on Christ and Him alone. That faith of which the Catechism have told us that all that is promised us in the Gospel. And what that is? Our spiritual experiences? The Gospel of John proclaims to us these. All that is promised in the Gospel, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you have made life in His name. Or as Lord Day 7 reminds us, all that is promised us in the Gospel with the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith teaches us in summary. And that articles of faith, which we confess also this night at the beginning of the worship service, that begins with this article, I believe in God the Father. And every time when you open that word of God, and when you hear and when you read, it is so that you may believe, so that you may have life for Christ's sake. This is professed with the churches of all ages and places, this Catholicity, this creedal confession that binds together for Christ's sake. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. What is now professed here in these words? The Catechism says that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the sake of Christ the Son, is my God and my Father. That is the main sentence of the answer of the Catechism. And the subordinate clause is, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that in them is, who likewise upholds and governs the same by His eternal counsel and providence. Now you may ask, why do you point out the center structure of this answer. Friends, so that the catechism is and remains a source of comfort. This comfort that God the Father, for Christ's sake, is my God and is my Father. Because if we begin to treat the subordinate clause as the main sentence and only speak of the doctrine of creation and discuss about God's covenant and providence, it could come at the expense of the main purpose of this catechism, of this Lord's Day. The main purpose, this aim, this comfort for all the circumstances in your life, in times of prosperity, in times of adversities, in days of joy, in days of cares and concerns. But this I know, by grace, experientially, by head and heart and affections, this comfort, that God, that creator of heaven and earth, for Christ's sake, is my God and my Father. Friends, do you hear? It is so personal. My God, my Father. It is, as it were, the authors of the catechism remind us, yes, it is true. God, the creator of the universe, the Almighty One, the creator of heaven and earth, the upholder and ruler of all things. But he is above all God and Father of his children, is above all my God and my Father, me. Think about it. That me with so many sins and shortcomings, that me so guilty in many ways daily, that me that is in so need and great need of forgiveness, of grace, of help, and yet I believe. Yeah, maybe a weak, maybe a struggling, or for others stronger, but this God-given faith, I believe in God the Father is my God and my Father because of Christ. That is the foundation. It's the only reason I can profess for the sake of Christ his Son when he cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there was no answer. No answer. So that you may experience to be heard, so that you might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him for Christ's sake. That is the only reason that I can profess I believe in God the Father. He who is the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, says the catechism. That makes the wonder so amazing and so great. The eternal Father of Christ, that first. He who is from eternity to eternity the same. Who is from eternity the Father of his beloved Son, Christ. That eternal Father, I believe, so we profess, I believe he is my God and my Father. And now, honest this night, when was it now the last time that you could profess this with your whole heart and head? This article of faith, as we read it this night, of God the Father, the creator and of heaven and earth, the Almighty One. Professed and confessed what Isaiah once wrote, behold, this
is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Oh friends, this is such a comfort. This God, who spoke, there is light, and there was light in the midst of the darkness. Can he not, the darkness that I experience by time, that it is spiritual or times of depression, the shadows in my life, cannot the creator of the universe, this God of heaven and earth, not take away the shadows and darkness of my life? This God, who counts the number of the stars and calls all of them by name, do you really think that he forgets one of his children? Forgets their name? In times of struggle, in times of questions, challenges and concerns. Oh friends, look then in a bright evening night to the universe above and see the thousands and millions and billions of stars and says to the Lord, Lord, and maybe in the misery of your life, Lord, thou hast counted all those stars. You know them all by names, each of them. Lord, don't forget me. Remember me for Christ's sake. Seeing those billions of stars, it makes you small, but you profess also this night, this God is my God and my Father. Oh yes, Zion cries out by times, the Lord has forsaken me and the Lord has forgotten me, but this Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, proclaims to you, even this night, knows precisely where you are, what circumstances of life you are in, and promises to you, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me. I do not forget you. As the prophet Jeremiah sees the universe, God's creation, then he has to say, art thou not he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for, and that is the reason, thou hast made all these things, and therefore we wait upon thee. This God, who hears and provides for the young ravens that cry, shall the Creator of heaven and earth not hear the cry of those that call upon him? Our needs might be great, but this God is even greater helper. Our adversaries might be many, but this God is stronger. The world might look mighty, but this God is almighty. And therefore the psalmist says of this God, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man? That thou art mindful of him, the son of man, that thou visit him. That is the amazing gospel grace. Undeserved, and yet he is mindful of me. He visits me. He cares for me. He provides for me. When you see that, and you realize that, seeing such a great
God for such one as you are. Do you not agree with the psalmist and can attest? For this God is our God forever and ever. And He will guide. And He will guide. Even unto death. So that you confess and profess once again, I believe in God the Father, the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of Christ his Son, is my God and my Father. Our second thought, the provision by God's fatherly care. Because the Catechism teaches us, reminds us, He will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body. For He is able to do it, being an almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. It's what we read in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6. For your Father knows what things you have need of. These things of which Christ said to his disciples, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, our daily physical necessities, our needs, our groceries, our clothing. Of these things to come through the day. Christ says and He promises, He assures and He reassures even now, your Heavenly Father knows what things you have need of. And He asks you also tonight, is life not more than meat? And the body more than raiment? Are you much better than the birds of the air? Young people, why then that anxiety in your life? Parents, why those concerns at times, those worries about food and drink and clothing, all those material things? And that in the light of the teaching of the Catechism tonight, what is professed, I believe in God the Father, the Almighty, Creator, Upholder, that He for Christ's sake is my God and my Father. To whom else shall you then go? For the things that you have need of. To whom? The Catechism even professed that I have no doubt that He will provide me. Difficult? That I have no doubt? And let us be practical tonight. Can be challenging for some in our midst. When you do not come through the month financially, and then to trust and to rely on the Lord and Him alone. That He will provide groceries, school tuition, the needs of your children, the things in your business, that He will provide for work, maybe an uncertain future, and then to live by faith, He will provide for all things necessary for soul and body. Yeah, the Lord promises in His word. And maybe you know the promises by heart. Bread shall be given Him. His water shall be sure. But you lay awake at night. You are not sure how you come through the next day. Or what the next month will bring. Oh, take then courage. Take comfort. This great and central basis of God's people. Assurance is not much of how our hearts are set on God, but how unshakable His fatherly heart is set on each of His children. And to see anew, with all that we have, how much good
we daily receive from his hand. When you consider how little good, how and how much sin is found in us, and yet he has not dealt with us after our sins, and not rewarded us according to our iniquities. But to look to him, of whom the psalmist says, he who daily come our lives to steep, in bounties freely given. Freely given. Not deserved, yet given. This God cares for us. Our God is he. He hears the needy when they cry. Let us sing that together. Of Psalter 420, the stanza 5. Let God be praised with reverence deep. He daily comes our life to steep in bounties freely given. God cares for us. Our God is here. Who will not fear his majesty in earth as well in heaven. Our God upholds us in the strife. To us he grants eternal life and saves from desolation. He hears the needy when they cry. And he saved their souls when death drew nigh. This God is our salvation. 420 stanza 5. Provide for all things necessary for soul and body. So the teaching of the catechism continues. And that is what the Lord already promised in baptism. And when we were baptized in the name of the Father, it states, he will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And here you see the unity of sacrament and profession.
baptism and the profession of faith. This promise he will provide. He will care for me, body and soul. That is care, that is comfort of an heavenly Father for Christ's sake. All things necessary. That is the language of faith. It does not ask for more. It does not go beyond God's promises. When the Lord says bread is given, water is sure, all what is necessary. And I'll be honest tonight, does not the Lord grant, give us not much more? We have sung, in bounty freely given, exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think. His daily provision, as we heard this morning of Israel through the wilderness journey, manna, daily, day after day after day, not for an entire week, not for an entire month, but daily, till they arrive in Canaan. Does that not testify of God's fatherly and faithful care? This God is the same also today, and also for your soul. That could mean by times that the Lord withholds physical and material things for our good, for our spiritual good. Friends, it is not the first time when God's children experience outward adversity that it is a rich time of spiritual prosperity. Times of adversity. The Catechism used these words, the valley of tears. The valley of misery. That are those times for pilgrims on the way. The valley of Baca. That is the valley of weeping trees. Of which the psalmist has to attest, my tears. Can be. There are times in your life, my tears have been my food day and night. When your soul cries out, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted? This turmoil in me. Times of which the Catechism reminds us, whatever evil, that is, whatever adversity he sends upon me, maybe a sickness, and maybe for years, maybe there are among us with hidden crosses, and it is so heavy at times. Or the depression, it is so challenging. Or encountering disappointments in life, situations, and you ask yourself, how can I continue? And then to experience, can even be the little things in life, can be a friendly word, can be a caring arm, can be a shoulder. But at God's precise time and in his way, this heavenly Father, for Christ's sake, turns this valley of tears, turns these adversities to my advantage, to my good. And then it is at times. And ask God's people, young people, ask God's people, they know there are times it is good for me. That I have been afflicted. To see God's fatherly care and being sanctified through suffering or sickness, through cares and concerns,
And then to see your life, everything, whatever comes to me in this valley of tears, comes from his fatherly and caring hand. The next Lord's Day. Now, do I see that always? Do I always agree with God's dealings in my life? Do I always readily understand God's work and way is in my life? But to learn, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Those situations in your life, you think, what good can come out of this? Well, it can work together for good, for his purpose. To learn and to ask the Lord, teach me to follow without asking. Father, what thou do is good. Teach me just to carry the present with a quiet mood. This gracious Father really cares for both soul and body. More than we fathers in our midst. We are often so busy with the earthly cares and concerns for the here and now of our children. Let's be honest, fathers. But this good and heavenly Father is much more able and is much more willing than we as earthly fathers. The Catechism stated, reminds us tonight, for he is able to do it, being an almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. He is able. He can care for me. And he is willing to care for me. Does that not give you to pause tonight? And fills you with amazement and reverence? Fills you with an humble gratitude, with joy unspeakable. Happy are those. Do we not often think too small, too little of this God? What he can and what he is able to do. And maybe sometimes we forget that. Young people, maybe sometimes we forget that in our wired world and technologically advanced world with security system and satellite guided world and your GPS and your phone. But now to trust on him. God the Father, the Almighty, on whom I rely so entirely. Do you depend entirely on this God? To have this comfort in your life. It's a living experience. Not some theoretical thing. It's experience in the heart of his people. To have this comfort, there is one, God the Father in Christ, who cares, who is concerned with me, for he is an able Father, being an almighty God. Moreover, this comfort, he is willing, being a faithful Father. Does that not humble you? A Father who is not only able, but also willing? Pause for a moment tonight, maybe when you come home, and look back in your life. Discuss it with your children. Has he not been unfaithful, unwilling, unable, and a caring Father? And that for me? For one who cried out, how can I escape this punishment and be again received into favor? But then with all your guilt and life stained with, and your life stained with sin, he invites also tonight so willingly, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. So your sins might be scarlet, they shall be white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He is more than willing. As a father who stands on the lookout, and therefore prodigal sons and daughters, they will come home. And for those in our midst tonight with maybe cares for the futures and riddles and questions in the life, he invites. He calls you friendly, earnestly, as the one who is willing and so able, come to me, all who that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. He invites urgently tonight. Cast all your cares upon him. For he cares for you. And maybe one in our midst that have to say, my way is hidden from the Lord. Listen to his great, great willingness. Have you not known? Have you not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. And he gives power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases strength. O they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. This is who this covenant-keeping God of the universe is. He is willing, being a faithful father. And why is he now so able? And why is he now so willing? And why is he now so faithful father? It's only one thing. For Christ's sake, who never will forsake the work of his hand. Oh, what a provision. Blessed be the Lord, who daily our heavy burden bears. This God of our salvation, who for his people cares. This able, caring Father is near to help you. This very willing, almighty Father is your only hope and comfort. Are those not reasons, my friends, abundant reasons to rejoice? Happy, happy, very happy is he, and see, who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And therefore we confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, will give that joy and comfort in all our hearts for this new week, to have this God of Jacob for our help, and that our only hope is in the Lord our God, his Father, Almighty God, maker of heaven and of earth. Bless thy word, that it might bring fruit in our life, that we do not shake it off when we leave this place, but that we may meditate upon it also this week, that it might come back in our minds, come back in our hearts, that we have such, for Christ's sake, such an able, willing, and faithful Father. Forgive us our sins in speaking and in listening. Bless thine own work and words, and that for Christ's sake. Amen. Congregation, the closing psalter is 241. 241, the stanzas 1, 2 and 9. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know thy name. And what follows? 241, the stanzas 1, 2 and 9. Congregation, go home in peace and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.